I just can't stress the importance of delayed gratification, especially in today's day and age. I mean, everyone, I get it. Like, you look on social media, you see everyone's got the toys, the cars, the watches, the this, the that. That is going to hold you back big time. I know everyone sees that I've got nice toys and nice things, but even me in my position, I bought my first car when I'd already made over 8 figures. It was a Range Rover, so it's not really a supercar exciting one at that. It's really, really hard to not only earn money, but multiply that and start building up a good base of wealth and really begin your journey of becoming a millionaire in your 20s. If you have money coming in and you spend it on stuff that isn't earning you more money back, whether that's putting money back into your business, whether that's putting money back into yourself, making yourself more valuable, whether that's spending money to buy back your time, whether that's a cleaner, whether that's a virtual assistant for your business. Like, I just think a lot of people are very bad at delayed gratification. Without delayed gratification, you're never going to get the rewards that come on the other side of it. So to me, delayed gratification, putting off buying the nice toys and the all the bullshit you see on Instagram, like, you know, once you get to that place in life financially, like, okay, yeah, do it. You deserve it. You worked hard, but you can't try to cash in your public victory too quick. Like, you have to keep stacking your private victories. You're never going to get that big public victory, whether that's a car, a wash, new apartment, the new house you want, without sacrificing, without stacking those private victories. Yeah, it's a shame, this whole social media world. And I get it. You know, people see some of my stuff and they might think it's flashy, or, oh, you live a good life. Yeah, I've also been an entrepreneur for 10 years. So in my case, after 6 or 7 years of being an entrepreneur, I finally bought myself a car, which I think was a little too late, actually. But hopefully that drills home the point.
So probably my favorite Warren Buffett quote is, it's not about how hard you row, it's about what boat that you're in. And I think if you're trying to build wealth in your 20s, I think that that statement definitely applies. The honest truth is, you have 1,001 different options of ways that you can become a millionaire in your 20s, amass wealth in your 20s, whatever your goal is. But the thing that I've seen consistently yield the best results is, find an online business, find a side hustle, find something that is low risk, has low capital expenditure, that you can fail at for a long time. And it doesn't matter, because, you know, it's not a startup where you're plowing $500,000 and if it doesn't work, well, then you're screwed. You can keep chipping away, you can keep building at it. Now, if I was to give you advice on how to become a billionaire in your 20s, realistically, you're not going to have a business, you're not going to have free cash flow from that business, you're not going to have profits that you can take out of the business to then put into your investment portfolio and then work your way up. Like, that's just not going to happen in your 20s. So if this is how to become a billionaire, then of course you have to build a massive company, take on investors, build up the valuation of it. And at the end of it, are you going to be a liquid billionaire? Of course not, but you're going to be worth that on paper, even though your day-to-day life may not reflect a reality anywhere close to that. So that's if you want this big, crazy goal of becoming a billionaire in your 20s. But for most people, if you want to become a millionaire, the best way to do it is slow and steady. A business where there isn't high capital expenditure. So first things first, just to get the business or the side hustle off the ground isn't difficult. And number two, it's not super cash intensive. Like for me, for example, I have businesses that are very cash intensive, whether that's my consulting business where we have 70 people full time. So you're looking at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a month in just payroll alone. Whether that's my eyewear company Hills, where I'm plowing in tens and tens of thousands of dollars into stock reorders that I might not see that turnover in revenue for 3 or 4 months. And at this stage in my career, that's fine. But a lot of these businesses are businesses where maybe the revenues are great, maybe the business is growing in valuation, but, you know, there's no liquidity. Like, I can't take money out the business. We have to keep reinvesting in the business. And it's very hard to become a millionaire in your 20s. And by the way, for me, a millionaire is someone who has access to $1 million liquid, whether that's through their investment portfolio, whether that's like literally they have $1 million in cash, but your business is not that. My general barometer is, if within 30 days you have to sell your investments or sell your assets, like, would you have $1 million in the bank? And businesses, unfortunately, don't fall into that category. So the reason I even bring up this topic in the first place is you have to pick the right boat. You have to pick something that can scale, but also something that's not so grandiose that in your mind, you're going to build this company for 5 to 10 years and it might have a 1% chance of working out. And if it does work out, and then at the end of it on paper, your share in the business is worth X amount. But once again, that doesn't do anything for your day-to-day life. And I've spoken about this at length before, simply because I just think it's a big misconception that people have. Just because you're a net worth millionaire, like, that doesn't mean that, like, day-to-day you feel it. So that's why from a young age, I was focused on cash flow in the businesses, personal investment portfolio. Cash flow in the businesses, personal investment portfolio. And I basically just did that for 6 or 7 years until I really started thinking about, okay, let's build some big businesses. Let's buy stakes in big businesses. Let's play the net worth game and the whole enterprise value game. But that was only when I had taken care of myself personally first. I understand there's a lot of noise online. People are talking about so many different things. There's no right or wrong answer. You know, my definition of the best boat may not necessarily be your definition. Just as long as I implore you as a person who speaks from experience, you are not going to invest your way to becoming a millionaire. That's just not going to happen, or at least not being able to do it in your 20s, unless you have a business, a venture, maybe even a high-paying career, whatever it may be, where you're consistently increasing the amount of cash available to you that you can put into your investment portfolio to accelerate that process. So please don't think that you're just going to sit here and start with $1,000 or $5,000 and then magically invest your way up to millionaire status in your 20s. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's too slow of a burn. And please also just be careful with endeavors where you have a lot of money tied up in the business and you don't actually have access to that capital.
One of the biggest things that holds people back, and the sooner you realize this, the sooner you can actually move forward with your life, your parents' playbook should not be your playbook. And that's not anything personal, because more than anyone else on earth, your parents want you to succeed. Your parents want you to win. But your parents have a framework that they followed, or maybe they didn't follow, and their friends followed, and that worked for them. And that makes sense 20 or 30 years ago. When you were trying to build wealth 20 or 30 years ago, it was a very different time. And because it was a very different time, you needed to follow a different playbook. So, you know, I just don't want to be that person, because I feel like everyone kind of knows at this point. College, university, for a vast, vast majority of people, is not going to get you where you want to be in life. But when your parents tell you this, or when your parents tell you to go into the corporate world, the truth is that actually worked for them, or that actually worked during their time. And in the same way, you know, when you end up having kids, or maybe if you do already have kids, your playbook should not be their playbook. Now, of course, there's universal truths and wisdom and a lot of life lessons that your parents have gathered over the years, and those things apply, and those things you can learn from for sure. But in terms of the playbook on how to actually get wealthy, how to have financial abundance, especially in your 20s, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, it was a very different time. It was much, much harder to become a millionaire in your 20s. That was almost unheard of back then. Now, these days, not to say that it's easy, but it's not only doable, but it's almost becoming commonplace these days. So yeah, it's a shame. I just feel like a lot of people are really, really held back by their family, really held back by the fact that they have this pressure that they need to conform to their parents' playbook, not understanding that even though your parents have your best intentions at heart, it's fine sometimes to not listen to them, and it's fine sometimes to carve your own path and carve your own playbook. In the same way, when you end up having kids, or as I said, if you already have kids, when your kids grow up, it's going to be the exact same thing for them. You probably will also be a little bit out of touch on how to make it in your 20s. So always stay respectful to your parents. They love you more than you could ever imagine. But yeah, just don't feel pressure that what they want for your life is what your life has to actually become. I think a big part of amassing wealth in your 20s is rewiring your identity and your worldview. And I think one of the best ways to do that is hanging around affluent places. I said this in a video 3 or 4 years ago. Whether you go to a super nice hotel such as this, or you go to Starbucks, like, these days a coffee is $6 or $7 or $10 anyways. So you may as well be somewhere that's inspiring, beautiful to look at, be around affluent areas, and spend the same amount of money anyways. And it's interesting, I think a large part of it when you're around wealthy people is realizing that they are literally exactly the same. They still do dumb things. They still get drunk. They still act cringy at times. But all in all, I do think there is a certain level of confidence and a way that they carry themselves, which you can take a lot from. You can learn a lot. And I think that will serve you well moving forward in life. And to be honest, for me, more than anything, it's just, it's nice being in beautiful places. You know, why would you want to go, you know, have breakfast at some chain restaurant for 25 euros or 30 euros when you could go somewhere nice, probably spend, okay, maybe rather than spending 25 euros, you spend 40 euros. You're just somewhere interesting. You're somewhere inspiring. You're somewhere beautiful, pretty to look at. So the more that you can embed yourself in these circles, in these environments without breaking the bank, I'm not a big believer that you need to start flying business class or first class. Like, you know, you got to keep your feet on the ground and only make those moves when it makes sense for your financial situation. But for every single person on earth, you know, you don't need to stay in a 6,000 euro a night suite, but you can definitely come to nice hotels, have breakfast, have a coffee, and just be in these environments. I think it does a lot for the identity and the mental part of your financial journey. So Paris has been lovely. We're in the lounge now, about to fly back to Dubai. I'm actually very excited. We have our new office there that we're opening up for my consulting company, consulting.com. And the reason I'm also excited is I know I have like a 4-week block to work on me and make upgrades to me. And I think as you're going through life, even for me at my stage right now, I'm always thinking, I view myself like a vehicle, like an F1 car. And I'm like, what upgrades can I make to myself? And this is probably one of the biggest factors why I managed to become a millionaire at the age that I did, is just an aggressive reinvestment of not only money, but also time back into making me this high performance vehicle, faster, more efficient, more aerodynamic. And what I mean by that is just always seeking out who are the best people who can advise me, who can guide me, who can mentor me. When I get back to Dubai, there's actually a few consultants I'm even working with for a few things that I want to refine, both personally and also in the businesses, to get to that next level. I think I kind of alluded to some of the investing stuff a few days ago when we were chilling in the hotel, but you have to view yourself like the most valuable stock in the world, because you are the most valuable stock in the world. You are the most valuable asset that you have. Nothing even comes close. So that's why, to me, any spare funds that you have, especially in the earlier stage of your career, as long as you're not being an idiot, okay, like keep your living costs in order, make sure you have savings, you know, past the obvious stuff. But in the early days, like, you have to be reinvesting everything back into yourself. I've spent some ludicrous amounts of money over the years. I spent $250,000 last year, I think it was, on 10 calls with an individual. And what's funny is this individual is actually more of a peer than anything. The reason I want to pay is because I'm like, outside of being peers, I respect your craft, your work, and I want to pay you as a client, not just on a friendly basis. And I think we only actually ended up having 4 or 5 calls. But to be honest, I knew the place where I was lacking. I knew the place where I had deficiencies in my knowledge, my skill set. I came in, got the direction, and got everything I needed. So this has been something that I've been doing for 10 years at this point, constantly making me the vehicle, you know, the thing that I'm moving through life with, better in every single domain, not only just in terms of my business skill set, but my interpersonal relationships, my health, anything that you can imagine. So look, any prudent individual should have an investment portfolio, of course, but especially in the earlier stages, there is nothing on earth that's going to give you anywhere near the return that investing in yourself will. And I think that's why it's something I've stuck to for a decade at this point, and I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. One of the biggest changes to your mental model that you're going to have to make on your path to accruing wealth is knowing the difference between the price of something and the cost of it. And what I mean by that is most people just look at, okay, what is the price? But the price, what something's priced at and what it ends up costing you, are two different things. Very easy example to understand, cars as an example. They'll see, okay, the price of this car is cheaper than the price of this car, but when you go to sell it, because of course a car retains some sort of value. Now, some cars, for example, like this car, I mean, I guess it's quite ironic I'm giving this example in one of the worst depreciating cars ever. For me, being driven around in a Phantom was always that was pinnacle peak. So that's why I added one to the fleet like 4 years ago. But anyways, back to the point. There is the price of something, and then there's what it costs you. You can get cars that are cheaper, priced cheaper, but the amount of money that you lose, it ends up costing you more. You know, you could think that you're being financially responsible by buying a $60,000 brand new Tesla, or I don't know, however much they cost. And then by the time you go to sell it 3 years later, you've lost 50% of your equity in it. So it's actually cost you $30,000. Now, you could have spent $75,000 on maybe a 8-year-old or 7-year-old Porsche with some miles on it used. And when you go to sell it, depending on if you know how to buy it right, maybe you spend $75,000 and by the end you sell it for $65,000. So yeah, maybe sure you spent a little bit more, but you ended up losing, rather than the Tesla example, which costs you $30,000 in cost, this only costs you $10,000 in cost. So as you rewire your brain on this journey and path to become a millionaire in your 20s, you need to know the difference between the price of something and the cost. And you need to start looking at things not in terms of, okay, what are they priced at? Instead, you need to be looking at them as, okay, what does it actually cost me in the duration of me actually using it? Another example, clothing. Now, as a person who literally produces eyewear and hats and candles and money clips and literally anything my heart desires. In fact, my company Hills, actually, before we changed the brand name, actually started off in clothing 7 years ago. So I've been involved in some way, shape, form, or fashion with physical product goods for a long time. And I will say a lot of things are way overpriced and way overmarked. But nonetheless, you can still tell the difference between maybe this item of clothing is priced at $40, but I'm going to get 12 wears out of it. Whereas another item where you spend, let's say $250 or $300, but you get
rather than 12 wears, you get 12 years of wear. And once again, that's where you have to know the difference between what is something priced at and what does it actually cost me when I spread out my usage over its entire lifetime. And it's very useful to learn these lessons on so you don't sit on either two extremes. There's some people who are super frugal and they don't want to spend on anything that is priced higher, not understanding that a lot of times the things that are priced cheaper actually end up costing you more in the long run. So there's some people who are so cheap and frugal, and that's not a good way to go about things. And then there's some people who are on the other side of things that are like, oh, it's priced higher, so that must mean that the quality is better or it's a better financial decision. Usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. So whether that be cars, clothes, whether that even be people that you hire, you need to know the difference between price and cost, because the cheapest option is not always the best option. And conversely, the most expensive option is also not always the best option. So as I talk about this, I think sum it all up really more so than anything, you just need to know what is value, and you need to be able to identify and spot the true value in something.